This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Gotta be true to yourself. In a world there's nothing else. Gotta play the game right, gotta make your path. You scratch, you dig, you lay in your ground. You busting your rounds, nobody gonna stop you. No ops, no cops, everything about you. Looking good, you good, she good. Y'all people really wanna know the reason.
What's that?
It's that Ripple Effect. That's just that ripple. That's just that Ripple Effect. What you do, come back,
come triple.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is, and you already know the vibes. Listen, shout out to all the supporters. I appreciate that. If you haven't just yet, make sure you listen, like, and subscribe. Because if you haven't done that, I don't even know what you're doing right now. Special shout out to Marvin Smith Jr. I really appreciate that last minute interview. I wasn't really expecting to do that. I'm sure you weren't either, but we got it done. Anything to help out, promote his brand and with things that he's got going on in his life. And same thing for myself, right? So it's definitely a great opportunity for both of us. But moving forward, we're definitely going to be on the road. And by we, I mean me, you know, and whomever else that I have to start hiring, I heard. So we'll see. We'll see how everything goes. You know, it's when you're so used to just being kind of like, you know, one person band, you kind of just roll with it, you know. But everything's great. I literally have no complaints. So like I said, I really appreciate all the support, especially the loyal ones from day one. You already know that was my first interview, you know, and it was, you know, how you would expect any first to be, right? It's just like, great. It's just great. It's something new, obviously. It's something that I want to continue doing, because like I said, I want to even travel more, do different things. And you know, when you start branching out, different things, different opportunities are going to come to you. And that's just, you know, the way life works, right? But anyway, it's sports. What are we doing right now? NBA is back. I hope you're excited. That's why I got the Knicks, you know, thing on, you know. I'm not going to sit here and act like I have high hopes. The East is no joke. It's definitely not like the East in the past where it was just the West that was dominant. The East got it now. You know, definitely the talent has been, like, you know, shifted over to the East Coast, you know. And that's great for me, especially if you're on the East Coast, when you get to, when you think about the games and when they come on and things of that nature. But I would suggest to get, you know, anybody get NBA League Pass or whatever you have, you know, whatever hookup or whatever you got, make sure you're able to stay tuned in all the games, especially if you're going to debate somebody like me, because I watch all the games. Listen, I'm like that. So we could talk about it. But anyway, enough of all that. Sixers, Celtics, right, tonight. Crazy. I know a lot of people were getting on James Harden. He got into shape, seems to have high hopes. He was speaking very highly of the Philadelphia fans. And as you know, the Philadelphia fans right now with the Eagles and all that going on, I get it. Everybody's all hype on them. Okay. And rightfully so. That's what happens when you're undefeated and nobody called that. So, you know, unless you're one of those like real hardcore, you know, Philadelphia Eagles fans. But shout out to them. Shout out to Jalen Hurts. Because everybody was talking about, you know, the AFC East, like, being the most dominant. And now we're over here talking about the AFC East, which is, the NFC East. It's like, what? We're talking about the Giants? That's right. 5-1, baby. You know, I know people are talking about the Cowboys, but okay. But anyway, but really, so NBA's back, and I know I'm super excited. I know a lot of people, because it's like you watch some people and they're kind of like into football because it's almost like something to do until basketball comes over. I mean, I'm into them both, rightfully so, especially what I do. But if you want to talk about my one true love, that's basketball. If you know me, you know. But yeah, I'm really excited about these different matchups. I know the Celtics had a lot going on. Some people don't think they're going to be fazed by that at all. If anything, like I said, it's like I said in the past episodes, this is either going to drift them further apart or tighter together. And so far, it looks like it is bringing them together. You know, this is adversity, folks. We've all experienced it in life. So everything doesn't just have to come crashing down just because, you know, one thing happens. You know, like I said, this can definitely make them stronger than ever. And, you know, honestly, I hope it does, you know, because I hate to see someone else's, you know, I don't want to say downfall, but, you know, someone else's mistakes to kind of, you know, trickle off onto others, like kind of like the players are collateral damage, even though they had nothing to do with it. You know, and that's just unfortunate. And that's usually what happens sometimes, you know, especially when you make decisions that are, you know, only beneficial for yourself and not thinking about other people and how they may affect, may be affected by your decisions. That's just the cost of being a leader. You know, we're all learning and growing and realizing that every day. So we're not going to harp on that too much. But that's why it's, you know, it's a good matchup to see, because they both have something to prove. The 76ers definitely have a lot to prove. And B was injured, pretty much holding up the ship this whole time, you know, doing everything that he had to do no matter what was going on with Ben Simmons. And it's been a lot. I mean, and then Joel Embiid not getting the award that he felt like he deserved, that, you know, for MVP. And that, we don't need to rehash that, but it's difficult. I totally get it. But at the end of the day, I do have Philly winning this game, mainly because I just feel like they both have more something to prove. But I just feel like Philly really has something to prove to that city. I mean, how long are you really going to keep trusting the process? I mean, it's like Philly is like real life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when things are just not going your way in the timely fashion you wish it would. You know, and other teams are kind of like, it's like a fantasy. And they, like, look at, like, the Memphis Grizzlies, for instance, you know, drafted well. Like, that process, they don't call it that, but everybody has their process, right? Their process. It's looking really good. And they've had a long process if you really want to look at it. But we're only focusing on the 76ers because, you know, once you say the process, or once you say something like Miami culture, then everybody seems to, you know, flock towards it, or they start to pay attention to it more. And now you have to, like, focus on it. And anytime things doesn't go their way necessarily, you're kind of just like, well, what happened? Like, you know, you want to talk about it? Like, it's not working out, you know, that sort of thing. And it's like, but anywho, I have the 76ers. Embiid is definitely going to come back with a lot to prove. He just needs to stay healthy. That's always been his thing. If he stays healthy, and I know some people are going to be like, well, he was last year and he still didn't get. Listen, it's not our fault that, you know, we definitely pay more attention to analytics than we do the eye test. Like, that's just the reality of it. I get knocked for it all the time when people throw stats in my face. And, you know, I'm not really big on stats. Yes, they're important, but I don't feel that they tell the whole story. They don't really show impact winning all the time. Because how many players have we seen average, you know, 20 and 10 or better, and they're not necessarily winning much? It's like, okay, you're competing for scoring titles and different things of that nature, but you're not impacting winning. You're not winning on the highest level where it matters most at the end of the day, right? When you want history to be kind to you, when they hang up their sneakers and their jersey is raised, you know, these are the kind of things we're going to be talking about. These are the conversations that we're going to be discussing. So, you know, it always just makes sense to always go back to that. So, but NBA, do me a favor. So for the MVP, you know, race, nomination, what have you, can we get a criteria? I get it. Why have a criteria when it just creates more controversy, more debates, more content for me? But come on. Like, at least we'll at least know who's right. There's always going to be somebody who debates anyway. Like, even when they know they're wrong and they just don't want to admit it. And it's like, moving right along. Because it's like, you know, just give us a criteria, a ballpark. You know what? A guideline. Give us a guideline. Because, yeah, from what I pulled from at least the last time, I would say it has to do with the amount of games you play. So if you're somewhere in that, like, 65, 70 and up range, well, even higher, because some of these guys only miss like 5 or 6 games, but 70, we'll say 70 games, right? So meaning, for any reason, if you miss more than, like, if you don't have 70 games, if you didn't play 70 games in one season, then you're automatically disqualified from the contest. Because at the end of the day, guys are tired, right? It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So, yeah, maybe your numbers might look really good because you only played 50% of the season. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's not really fair. You know, it takes a lot for guys to come out day in, day out. You're talking about, what, 5 games, sometimes 4 or 5 games in 1 week? Come on. The travel back and forth, some guys are not even traveling with the team. Come on. All that stuff matters. You know, come on. Guys are tired too. You know, guys are banged up when you get to the, you know, when you get closer, you know, towards playoff time or just to the end of the regular season. Like, play. That's all we ask. I mean, you'll see, at least I would think, less people will be, you know, inclined to, like, really talk about you. And, like, because I know some of these players are like, listen, like, just talk about my game. Don't talk about nothing else. And it's like, I honestly believe that's all people really want to talk about. I can't speak for everybody. Sorry. I'm just talking about for, like, real basketball purists, people who really love and enjoy and analyze the game. I'm talking about those people. And they're not just clickbait. They're not just looking for content. They're not just looking for people to just argue with. Like, no, if you're really looking for something that's, like, real, you know, something that you really can, come on, you know what I'm talking about. So, it matters. You got to play. You got to play. It's, I mean, you're getting paid to play. It kind of just makes sense to play. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, like, it sounds so basic, but it's true. It's like, don't get me wrong. If you're injured, this is not even a conversation. We're not going there. Nobody expects you to play injured. If you got a concussion, be in concussion protocol. We don't need to get into the whole Miami Dolphins situation, but you get where I'm going. At the end of the day, we just want to see players play. I love the podcast. I love them speaking out and having their own platforms and having their own, you know, voice. That's cool. But I'm saying, but do that and play, though. You know what I mean? Like, just save all of the, like, if you're just gonna not play and talk, we want you to do that after you're done playing, like when you're retired, not when you're currently on a roster and somebody has season tickets and can never see you play because you're just taking a day off. You know what I mean? Like, that sort of thing. But anyway, ring night for the Golden State Warriors. Yo, I'm pretty sure a couple weeks ago, we just thought that was just going to be a regular old, good old-fashioned Warriors ring ceremony, you know, because we've seen them do these for the last couple of years, you know, with the exception of one or two. But, you know, we've been seeing them. And the names have pretty much been the same, you know, Clay, Steph, Draymond, Iggy, you know. But now there's some new additions, right? That's how sports is. Next man up. There's always that new blood that comes in, right? So you got Jordan Poole. Now, Wiggins, not necessarily new blood, but coming into a different culture. And I knew he would do well in this culture, even though everybody looked at me like I was crazy. Happy to say that that worked out for him and for myself. Also, you know, we can talk about Wiseman and Kuminga. I mean, these guys, they're built for the future. They're built for last. You know, that's Bob Myers, and they've done an excellent job. But you know where I'm going with this. Everybody already knows the fight. We don't need to really rehash it. But in a way, it is going to get rehashed in a way, because everybody's eyes are going to be on Draymond and Jordan Poole. Because they're going to wonder, did they really make up? Was it really okay? You know what I mean? Like, is it okay now? Meaning, you know, just because he said sorry? I don't know. Let me keep it honest. You knocked me out. Well, I think we are always going to have problems. That's just how it is. Knock somebody out, we're gonna have problems, you know, until we don't. But they said they're professionals, and they said that that's what they're going to do. Okay. Now, interesting, Jordan Poole just got $140 million. Jordan got the bag. Wiggins, $109 million, just got the bag. Draymond is waiting till the end of this season to resume contract negotiations, whether he's going to opt in after next year. So Some people can say that this was, well, I'm not going to say some people. Draymond actually said that this had nothing to do with the Golden State Warriors. This was something that he was feeling, and this was off the court, and he kind of brought it on the court and into Jordan Poole's face. I'm going to say I don't believe that. And this is why it's good that we not only have the players have their platforms, but it's also good to have other people that also love the game, that want to respect the integrity of the game. But just so we're not being biased, because at the end of the day, you know, we have to offer some perspective, you know, because to sit there and say that teams, coaches, players, organizations, you know, owners all tell the truth, that's not true. And for one simple reason, their loyalty is to the team. Their goal is to win. So at the end of the day, and of course they want to make money. Let's not act like that doesn't factor in. You know, the bottom line is the bottom line. But what I'm trying to say is, if anything comes in between that, it's not. Let's just put it that way. It's just not going to come between that. So I know some people are really going crazy with this whole situation, because they don't feel like a fine was enough for Draymond punching Jordan Poole. Into the what extent, we don't know, because that's when the tape was conveniently cut short, right? So what I mean to say is, it's rather silly of us to think that the contract negotiations were not a factor at all into what happened. Now, I'm not trying to sit here and say that they were talking about money, but money is on the back of their minds. I mean, when they won the championship, the greatest moment of their life, I mean, they're literally at the pinnacle of happiness. What was Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins doing? What young guys do? They were on the gram live, hyping it up, talking about how we gonna get the bag. So you can't tell me that they not thinking about that now. You know what I mean? Meaning when they came back for training camp, you can't tell me that that's not on their mind. When that was literally on their mind, right after, I mean, still drenched in champagne. And that's what came up. And I watch a ton of other podcasts and definitely read too much. But Kevin Garnett said something interesting. I'm paraphrasing, but he pretty much said, after you win a championship, you know how those young guys get. Now, he was very clear, and he said, I'm not advocating for violence. I am not excusing Draymond for what he did. He said, I don't even know what was said. But he did say and did go into a little detail about how the young guys get after winning a championship and how they've, you know, elevated their game, taking it to the next step. And when they know they're about to secure the bag, their confidence is OD. You know, like, it's to the point where it's like maybe unbearable, especially for someone like Draymond that already had put it out there that he wanted the, you know, the max. And they were like, you ain't getting the max. Like, let's just get that out the way. Let's start there. You want the max, we ain't giving it to you. Next, you know? And you see these young guys, and you're thinking like, wow, I just won my fourth championship. Excuse me. Played a huge role in that part, in them obtaining those. But here's the thing. players always want to talk about business, right? And they always want to talk about being businessmen. And that's great. And they should keep that up and keep that same energy. But at the same time, you're talking to a business that's been in business for a very long time. Now, I can't tell you that I'm as well-versed on contracts as I'm sure that they might be, being that they've been in these situations a ton of times. And hopefully I've received advice from people who are way smarter than me. But at the same time, I can tell you that there is not a lot of organizations that pay you based off of what you already have done. They pay you on your potential to do more. Like, what are you going to do more? Okay, you did that. That's why we're talking. That's why you're getting this extension. Now, when we're talking numbers and you're talking about a max is for someone who's definitely a lot younger. And don't get me wrong, there's going to be some CP3 exceptions and things of that nature or LeBron. But we're not talking about that type of guy. We're talking about Draymond Green, and that's no knock against him. But you already know where this is at. I'm just saying they've paid him over his career, right? Now, I don't know what they're offering. They didn't say. But I can tell you right now, it doesn't make Draymond comfortable because he hasn't come to any sort of deal, and that's why he's just going to wait. He has been getting real cool with LeBron, and I told you what I think, that he may be off to L.A. anyway, like especially after that punching situation. You know, I don't know how that's ever going to get rectified. And when you talk to a lot of different players and they seem to have like the same way of going about it. Like, I don't see how that gets, you know, rectified. I don't see how they can come together after that. Who knows? I mean, Draymond had KD wanting to leave for less. So, you know what I mean? Meaning he did knock KD out and KD still wanted, you know. And I understand that that wasn't all of KD's decision. I get it, you know, but that was a pretty big part, you know. And it all has to do with respect. Like, at the end of the day, these guys, you know, they're super talented. They used to be in the man on the team. And when you're on a super team, it's kind of hard to have, like, everybody kind of have that same cachet. You go to the Warriors, you know that's Steph's team. You know, no matter, you go to the Lakers, that's LeBron's team. You know, you go to the Nets, that's KD's team. But the thing is, when KD went to the Warriors, yeah, KD was the best player in that team, but it's Steph's team, though. It was never KD's team, and I guess KD thought when he went there, it would become his team. And I believe that that was, like, part of the issue as well. Now, I say all that to say this. Culture matters. It does matter who's willing to step aside. We saw that in the Miami Heat with Dwayne Wade and the Batman and the Robin situation. All that stuff matters. We're watching it now with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. We had to watch one of them step aside. We just saw it earlier. Like, Chris Paul. Sorry, not Chris Paul. Paul George just let you, he just told you, you know, don't start this number one, number two between me and Kawhi. He was like, I'm number two. Kawhi's number one. That's it. Like, everybody's here to play a role, and that's it, and I'm number two. And I was like, wow. Like, that's leadership. Like, that's, like, when I heard him say that, I was like, oof, Clippers are going to be tough to beat, you know, like, obviously, they're going to have to contend with the Warriors, but that's going to be the biggest threat, I feel, barring health with the addition of John Wall, excuse me. Like, are you crazy? Like, but just that whole situation was just, you know, with the Warriors and Draymond and Jordan Poole is very cringe-worthy, and it is going to be crazy what's going to happen during ring night. And honestly, we really don't know. Some people think they're going to get booed. You know, Draymond's going to get booed because they kind of already picked sides, you know, because everybody already pretty much said, like, listen, Draymond was dead wrong. That's it. Point blank, like, we're not going to take it any further about back and forth and who was, you know, wronger or righter. Nah. So that's going to be interesting. I do believe the Warriors will beat the Lakers. I know LeBron's going to come out, you know, letting us know, like, listen, what is he, 21 years in? Like, man, 20 years? This dude is about to beat Kareem's scoring title. Like, what do you, like, the best scorer of all time? Like, he's not even known as a scorer. We don't even talk about him as the best scorer. Like, that's saying something. I mean, I get it. Like, I didn't put him, like, top five best scorers of all time. But when you think about someone who's not even trying to score and is going to be the number one, that's ill. Like, that's crazy. But that's what makes LeBron LeBron. Like, he's building schools. I mean, he's doing the unthinkable, the unimaginable. You know, just became a billionaire. You know, he's doing it. Like, his son Bronny just signed a, you know, NIL deal with Beats and Nike. I love it. I love when you see the legacy lives on. You know, passing. You know, LeBron gave him the blueprint. He's following it. You know, shout out to the James family. Like, that's all you can really say about that. Looking forward to the NBA season for many reasons. I'm definitely looking forward to... there's a lot I'm looking forward to. But mainly, like, the Minnesota Timberwolves. I know a lot of people are kind of like, how is that going to, you know, go with Rudy Gobert? Because I just feel like, now, I don't like that they gave up so much, right, for Rudy Gobert, because that kind of threw the whole market off. It's not that I don't like it for that team, because I do. I'm just meaning in terms of, like, the market and how it made everything crazy when KD wanted to leave the Nets. It just threw the whole market off, and that's what I really didn't care for, especially when it came to the Knicks, and we don't need to get into that. But their number one question was defense. The number one, that's not the only question, but it was defense was a big part of it. This obsession of theirs to kind of just make really, really silly mistakes, not being able to close out games is definitely another big problem for them. But I'm hoping with some veteran leadership, meaning they have time during the season to figure that one out. Hopefully Rudy Gobert will kind of slow them down. You know, I mean, what he does on the defensive end is really tremendous. They don't need him to score like that. I know people get on him about why he gets paid so much money to not really, you know, score as much. But rebounding in defense, that's going to be his role. That is going to be big. Now, I heard that they don't plan on re-signing or extending D'Angelo Russell. Now, listen, I like D'Angelo Russell. I do, but not there. Mainly because of the immaturity. Like, I don't like him with Anthony. I really don't. I feel like what they're lacking is maturity. They solved the defense problem. They need maturity. But, yeah, I'm really excited to watch that. Of course, I'm excited to watch the Pelicans, you know, with Zion playing. And, you know, I love what CJ McCollum was able to do with these guys. Am I really excited about the Lakers and the Nets? I'm not going to say I'm excited about them, but it will be interesting to watch to see how everything turns out, you know, because at the end of the day, you already understand how talented these guys are. Darvin Ham, I already told you about how I feel about him as a coach. Like, I think he's great. I think it's a perfect fit. I know he's new, but he's going to do his thing. I'm not even worried. It's just a matter of health, their discipline on defense at the end of the day, because everybody can score. Like, look at all these teams. They're all loaded. You know, they're all built to beat the Warriors, essentially. So you got to have defense. You know, that's why the Memphis Grizzlies, I told you I was excited about them and what they're doing over there, because not only they can score, they're literally built for the Golden State Warriors. Now, the Golden State Warriors, now if Wiseman is healthy and playing and Kuminga, you know, is kind of getting, you know, we got to see his development over the season. But the Golden State Warriors definitely have the potential to be more dangerous. You know, that really just depends on health. Because remember when Draymond was out with that back injury last year and guys were still stepping into their roles, like they wasn't really as confident enough. I mean, I feel like they learned so much all last season. Like it's going to be crazy. As for the Nets, they just need to stay healthy and play. That's really it. Stay healthy and play. They're definitely not finished yet, impressively. As presently constructed, I know a lot of people just see the big name of Kyrie and Durant and think that's all you need. I'm sorry, that's not the way it works. You actually need role players. I do like Seth Curry, obviously. I've been talking about his greatness, but I don't like the role he necessarily plays on that team. And that's definitely something that Steve Nash needs to figure out. Yeah, they just have a lot of question marks there. I don't think they answered any questions. I think they had a lot of drama over the off season. And at the end of the day, I'm not mad content. Thank you. But at the end of the day, it's like, what is that really doing for them and their team? It's nothing really, you know. The Knicks, I feel like we should be solid, but that really depends on Randall. He's the only question mark to me. Like, and that's all I'm going to say about that. I love the way Obi Toppin's developing. I love what he's becoming. RJ Barrett, I just need him to step it up another level. I want to see him be an all-star. I can see him doing that. I see where his ceiling, you know, can be. If he even has one, you know what I mean? Like, because he's always been, like, NBA body ready, even the fundamentals. Like, he was just a solid dude. Emmanuel Quickley. Love his game too. Love what he brings off the bench. I mean, we just got Brunson. They have a solid group, man. Like I'm not complaining. Like I like Sims. You know, we just got to put it all together. Tibbs, I hope he, you know, has a plan for these guys, and it's not really just more of the same old, same old. But yeah, I'm excited about the season. If there's any other teams that really stick out to you to see, you know, but. Obviously, the Celtics, let me not forget to mention, with the addition of Brogdon. Brogdon was key. I think I already had mentioned that already on my other podcast, but I'm going to mention it again because it's important. Because at the end of the day, I never felt like Marcus Smart was the answer to their point guard situation. I get that he's been more consistent than the rest and prior, but... That just wasn't it. When you get to that next level, when you're in the finals, like, they understand the difference. I'm sure even Marcus Smart will feel more comfortable into his two position, shooting guard position. So, I mean, I love the way he plays on defense. And Brogdon, he's so solid, you know, sensible, calm. Like, I think he's just going to fit in just great, especially with all the stuff they got going on. He's one of those guys that seems like a real class act that's just going to kind of slide in there, play his role, not really making any waves, do what he needs to, you know, just be that lead by example type of dude I can see. But if you want to switch over to a little bit of NFL, because I don't want to spoil NBA, but game was horrible last night. Not really going to talk about it much. I know Russell Wilson has been injured, even though everybody's been, like, jumping on him. Pete Carroll looks like a genius right now. What are you going to do? that's just unfortunate. He jumped into a really tough conference, even though it didn't look like the Chargers were doing that great either, because the Broncos' defense is real. Just because their offense is god awful doesn't mean that this defense is really good. It was solid, so that's why Herbert was struggling last night. But that game was, whew, man. I mean, we're getting to the point where stop advertising the Broncos like that. Like, stop putting them on Sunday and Thursday nights when there's nothing else on. They belong on a Sunday 1 o'clock slot, you know what I mean, where I can be watching Red Zone and probably never see them. Like, I mean, that's just kind of where I'm at with it. Like, I'm sorry, a lot of blame goes to Hackett, but, you know, Russell Wilson as well. If you're out there, you You're the leader, bro. Like, that's just the way it is. You're getting paid all that money. That's just the way it is. The Jets are killing it. All you Jets fans, I know you guys are happy with everything that's going on. I mean, it just kills me because nobody expected this. I mean, you look at the Dolphins. I mean, obviously with injuries and all their, you know, drama, things that they had going on. It's like nobody expected any of this. The Patriots had a slow start, but they're picking it up, doing really well right now with Zappy. I'm like, yo, who is this kid Zappy? It's like, I don't know, but Mac Jones about to have a seat on the bench because Zappy's doing his thing. I just look around the league, and I'm looking at Lamar, and I'm like, I really want him to get the contract that he wants. And, you know, he's just kind of, you know, not having the best fourth quarters. You know, I mean, I feel like in the first half, amazing, right? Third quarter, okay, you can start to see the, you know, right when it just, and then it's just unfortunate, right? Looking at, told you already, the Giants, yeah. I thought Lamar was going to, I don't know. Like, I was kind of like, I told you the one song that came to mind, you know what I said? When I found out who they were playing, I was like, don't wake me up because I'm dreaming. Like, Giants fans, we get to sleep another day. We can keep dreaming. I looked at our schedule. Our schedule is pretty light. What we got, the Jags, Lions, like, we're going to be all right. And we have Seattle, I think we're at Seattle. I might be a little. But we'll see. We have a chance to really get 8 wins. Like, legit 8 wins. Dak is going to be back for the Cowboys. A lot of people are happy about that. A lot of people think that if Dak was playing against the Eagles would have won. But let's just keep it real. Let's give credit where credit's due. The Eagles are playing amazing. They're just getting it done in all phases. Let's give a special shout out to Darius Slay Jr., right? We also got to give, I mean, the corners, right? The DBs, like the Eagles, amazing. I mean, I was watching them on the pivot the other day, and I'm just like, you just turned it up a whole nother level, just to let people know. Amazing. Because you just go into the season, you just have all these high expectations. But I already told you, the Bills, still my favorite for the Super Bowl, right? I love what Josh Allen is doing. I told you he was my MVP, but then when they didn't pay Lamar, I switched to Lamar because I was like, Lamar has a lot more to prove. He's probably going to be the one to get the MVP, but I don't know. So far, that's not looking like the truth, but we'll keep watching. We'll keep buckling down, seeing what's up. But the Bills are doing an amazing job. The Chiefs, man, yeah, that Bills-Chiefs game, man. I don't. I'm sorry. Like, this was like the first time I was like, the Chiefs really missed Tyreek Hill. Now, before, I remember saying, like, it's not just one person. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, he's a play. Like, Tyreek Hill is a playmaker. Like, I'm not trying to take anything against him, you know, take anything away from him. But at the same time, it's like Patrick Mahomes is a magician. You know, what he's been able to do, you know, with those sidearm throws and that just, you know, he's out there playing basketball with the football. Like, but Patrick Mahomes does need help. Did you hear me? OBJ, I'm talking to you. Yeah. They need help. Go help them. Go help them. Because that's going to be crazy. But the reason why I did pick the Bills, because everybody was like, why are you picking the Bills or whatever? And I thought it was pretty self-explanatory why I was picking the Bills. Because if the OT rules were different, you know, that would have been a different game last year. You know, but it's because of Von Miller, guys. They added Von Miller. That's why Patrick Mahomes was having a hard time the other day. Like, come on. Von Miller gets to the quarter. He makes trouble, man. Why do you think Patrick Mahomes threw that late game interception? Right? Rushing him, right? Making him run, making him uncomfortable. That's what he does. They were crazy to let that man go. That's why the Rams are struggling now. The Rams definitely don't look the same. The Bengals don't look the same, right? The Browns, the Panthers. You already saw that Robbie Anderson incident, man. I was like, oh, man, dude, you can't do that to the coach in public. I mean, what you do, you know, in the locker room, you know, we're not going to see. So, you know, I'm sure that stuff goes on. But in public, and then you went to the assistant coach, and they just kicked him off the game. They probably kicked him off the team last night, right? Because the very next day, you know, he was traded. But I'm thinking to myself, like, when I saw that who he got it traded to, I'm like, oh, Robbie, you smart. You got traded to the Arizona Cardinals. You said to yourself, do I want Baker Mayfield throwing me the ball or Kyler Murray? I mean, what more do you want? I mean, that it makes sense. Now, I don't know if that's why he told him what he told. I don't know what transpired. I don't know if he was having problems with Baker Mayfield as well. Because as you know, we've been hearing, you know, wide receivers complain about Baker in the past. But, you know, naturally people just blame the wide receivers because they're known as the divas, right? So, and they didn't pay any mind that there actually may be something to what they're saying. But what are you going to do? These games, man, they're coming down to it. What are we in? Week 7 now? There's a lot of games coming up. A lot more football coming up. So don't make your decisions just yet about who's going to make the playoffs, because the tides can turn. You see the Bucs, Tom Brady throwing F-bombs at his whole O-line, even though he was just at a wedding and missed walkthroughs. Some people are like, oh, but he's the GOAT. He can do whatever he wants. Yeah, you're the GOAT. Not everybody else on your team is the GOAT. So they may need practice with you, right? Because they may need you to say, hey, during walkthroughs, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it this way. So that way when we get in the game, you don't do that. And I don't end up on my back. But that didn't happen. I did think that was interesting, because everybody talks about how consistent Tom Brady is, how football is everything. Football is life. Hence why he's still playing, even though he retired and unretired, right? You got to put football first, right? That's what he always says. You can't have any distractions. That's what he always says. You have to work out. You can't eat anything that tastes good. You know, no sugar, no soda, no... Cool. Don't miss meetings. Don't miss practices. Your team needs you. It's everything. Everything's about the team. But then you miss meetings. Now, this isn't even a story. This isn't even something that I would even count on or mention if they were winning. You have to understand, when you're losing, people are looking to see why you're losing. Teams are not going to tell you why they're losing. Oh, well, guys went out to a party last night. Everybody got, you know what I'm saying? And they went out in the field and just messed up. They're not going to tell you that. They're just going to say, oh, we were a little slow with our coverage, that we didn't really know what they were doing, you know, or they just make something up, right? Anything but the truth, right? Because sometimes the truth sounds terrible. I'm just telling you from an organizational standpoint, you know. They just call it PR, but we know what it is. But you can't do that. Yeah, if you're Tom Brady, you get a pass, so people are probably not going to say that you're the worst person on the earth, right? So, because if you're somebody else, they'll probably, like, throw your name through the mud, start, you know, character assassinating you. You know how that goes. But you're Tom freaking Brady, so you get the benefit of the doubt. But at the end of the day, if you're going to be cursing out your whole O-line, you know, and you didn't show up, what if they just said, yo, we showed up. We did the best we could. We thought this is what we were supposed to be doing. I get it. We messed up. We did wrong. But, dude, you wasn't even there. Like, you weren't even there. it looked good in practice. It looked good during walkthroughs. But if you were there, you could have said something. But you already know how that goes. Tom Brady said on a podcast that he was just saying that to fire the guys up, you know, motivate them. They didn't win, so it didn't work. But maybe next time, you know. But at the end of the day, I just feel like consistency. I mean, it's something that he's always preached his entire career. And it's something that definitely rings true, especially when you're 45 years old. You would think consistency is everything. You know, you can't be doing those sudden moves with your body. Like, your body will tell you real quick, slow down. Otherwise, I'm going to lay down. Like, this is not happening. All right, guys, so I'm going to leave it there. You already know, all I ask is one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Nah, I'm not going to close it just yet. A lot of people keep asking me, why do you say that, right? Think about it. Anytime you suffer a loss, no matter what it is, you can't really control how you lose that loss, right? Or the circumstances around it. But what you can control is how you react and what you can gain from that loss. There's always something to be gained. It's what you just call adversity, right? It builds character. I talked about it a little bit in my interview with Marvin Smith Jr. He can tell you himself as well. We all experience a little adversity, but at the end of the day, we come out through the other side better, stronger, wiser, right? And I say all that to say this. My goal is to put that message out there, right? No matter what, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what you're going through, I need you to inspire somebody else. I know it's not easy. It's not easy being vulnerable and understanding, you know, things happen and you have to deal with it ultimately and then possibly explain to others how you dealt with it. And some people may see that as like a challenge, mainly because they could be still dealing with it, or maybe they didn't deal with it appropriately, so they really don't even want to touch it. But I asked you to do that because I want you to start that ripple effect. Yeah, that's right. Be that drop that starts that ripple effect that can affect the world. That's my goal. Nothing's perfect. Things aren't always going to come to you. But at the end of the day, you stay true. You're passionate. You help others. Good things will come. Till next time. Peace.
Gotta be true to yourself. In a world there's nothing else. Gotta play the game right, gotta make your path. You scratch, you dig, you laying your ground. You busting your rounds, nobody gonna stop you. No ops, no cops, everything about you. Looking good, you good, she good. Y'all people really wanna know the reason.
What's that?
It's that ripple effect. That's just that ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back triple.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.